We'll start this lecture on further aspects of discretionary trusts by looking at non-relevant property. According to Section 68, subsection 5 of IHTA, when calculating an exit charge in the first 10 years of the trust, the effective rate of tax is calculated using the value immediately after the settlement commenced of property then comprised in it. In simple terms, this means the initial value. This initial value will include all assets entering the trust, even if those assets are not relevant property at that time. The same principle applies to any added property. By way of illustration, Joe created a trust on the 15th of May 2002 with £800,000 in cash. The terms of the trust were that Joe's daughter, Tina, was entitled to an interest in possession in 25% of the fund. The remainder of the trust was held on discretionary trust for Joe's grandchildren. Joe had made no lifetime transfers prior to 2002, and the trustees paid any IHT arising. In July 2011, the trustees made a discretionary distribution of £25,000 to each of Joe's four grandchildren. The trustees paid any IHT arising. We'll calculate the IHT on the discretionary distribution. First, we consider any tax paid on the creation of the trust. Joe is treated as creating two separate trusts on the 15th of May 2002. He set up a discretionary trust with cash of £600,000 and an interest in possession trust with cash of £200,000. Where two transfers are made on the same day, we divide the annual exemptions on a pro rata basis. In this case, three quarters of the exemption are allocated to the discretionary trust and one quarter are allocated to the interest in possession trust. The gift to the discretionary trust is a chargeable lifetime transfer. In this case, the transfer, after exemptions, is £595,500. The gift to the interest in possession is a PET, as transfers to IIP trusts before March 2006 were PETs. In this case, the PET is £198,500. Therefore, only the gift to the discretionary part of the trust would have been liable to lifetime inheritance tax. To calculate the tax, we take the transfer, deduct the nil band for 2002-03, which was £250,000, and charge the balance at 20%. The tax due on the creation of the trust would therefore have been £69,100. Assuming this tax was paid by the trustees, this will be deducted when calculating the initial value. The initial value of the discretionary fund is therefore £600,000 less £61,900, giving £530,900. The next step is to put together the exit charge pro forma. We start with the relevant property in the trust. The relevant property is the £600,000 transferred to the discretionary part of the fund less the tax of £69,100 paid by the trustees when the trust was created. However, 25% of the trust fund is held as interest in possession for the settlor's daughter, Tina. Relevant property is defined as property in which no qualifying interest in possession exists. Qualifying interests in possession include IIPs created before March 2006. As this IIP for Tina was created in 2002, it is a qualifying interest in possession and it is not, therefore, within the definition of relevant property. This means that the IIP fund for Tina is not subject to exit and principal charges. Despite this, exit charges are based on the initial value of all assets in the trust, even if those assets are not relevant property. Therefore, the initial value of Tina's IIP, being £200,000, must still be counted. The initial value of the trust is therefore £730,900. From this, we knock off the nil band and calculate notional tax on the excess at 20%. Notional tax is £81,180. We express this as a percentage of the transfer of £730,900, to give an effective rate of 11.107%. We then multiply this by 30% and adjust for the number of quarters. Between the commencement of the trust in May 2002 and the distribution to the grandchildren in July 2011, there are 36 completed quarters. The actual rate of tax is therefore 3%. This must then be grossed up, as the trustees will pay the exit charge. The grossed up rate is 3.093%. The exit charge is therefore the distribution, being four lots of £25,000, giving £100,000, multiplied by 3.093%, giving £3,093. The effect of creating a trust containing non-relevant property is therefore the same as having set up two different trusts on the same day, i.e., the rule mirrors that which applies to related trusts. Joe would have been better advised to have created a separate IIP trust for Tina on the day after he had set up the discretionary trust, that is, on the 16th of May 2002. This would have reduced the lifetime tax on the chargeable lifetime transfer, as all annual exemptions would have been allocated to the first transfer, and would also have reduced the rate of tax applying to the exit charge. Only relevant property within the trust on its 10-year anniversary will be subject to the principal charge. However, to calculate the effective rate of tax, we must take account of the value immediately after it became comprised in the settlement of any property which was not then relevant property and has not subsequently become relevant property. This means that to calculate the effective rate of tax, we need to take account of the initial value of any non-relevant property in the trust. Again, this rule mirrors that for related trusts, where the initial value of a related trust affects the rate of tax on a principal charge. Returning to the example of Joe's trust, at the 15th of May 2012, the trust was valued at £1.2 million, of which Joe's daughter Tina had an interest in possession in 25%. We will calculate the principal charge. The principal charge is as follows. We start with the value of relevant property in the trust on the 10-year anniversary. The trust is worth £1.2 million, of which 25% is held on qualifying interest in possession trust for Tina. The relevant property is therefore 75% of £1.2 million, being £900,000. To this we add the initial value of a related trust, which is nil in this case, the initial value of any non-relevant property in the trust. Tina's interest in possession is non-relevant property. The initial value of this IIP when the trust was set up in 2002 was £200,000. We therefore add this on to give a transfer of £1.1 million. Note here that the current value of the non-relevant property is irrelevant. We're only interested in the initial value of Tina's IIP. The transfer is £1.1 million. From this, we deduct the nil band at the date of the principal charge. The nil band for 2012-13 is £325,000. The settlor made no lifetime transfers. However, the trustees made distributions to beneficiaries in the previous 10 years, so these distributions reduced the nil band. The distributions were £100,000 plus £3,093 of IHT paid by the trustees, giving £103,093. The nil band remaining is therefore £221,907, giving a chargeable amount of £878,093. Notional tax at 20% is £175,619. When expressed as a percentage of £1.1 million, the effective rate is 15.965%. The actual rate is therefore 4.79%. Note, there is no need to adjust the quarters here, as the assets have been in the trust throughout the whole of the last 10 years. Once we have the rate of tax, we multiply this by the relevant property in the trust to give us the principal charge. The relevant property in the trust at the 10-year anniversary is 75% of £1.2 million, being £900,000. The principal charge is therefore £43,110. Note here, therefore, that the initial value of non-relevant property in the trust has been counted in order to compute the rate of tax. However, once we have the rate of tax, we only multiply this by the current value of relevant property to give us the principal charge. Next, we'll look at excluded property trusts. A trust is domiciled where the settlor was domiciled when he created the trust. Therefore, a trust created by an individual not domiciled in the UK will be non-UK domiciled for IHT purposes. The trust will remain non-UK domiciled even if the settlor subsequently acquires a UK domicile, either under general law or under the 17-year residence rule in Section 267 of the Inheritance Tax Act. Foreign assets held by a non-domiciled person are excluded property. Excluded property is outside the scope of IHT. Therefore, any transfers of excluded property are ignored for IHT purposes. As such, foreign assets held by a trust which is non-UK domiciled are excluded from a charge to IHT. Note that a trust can be resident in the UK but can still be an excluded property trust for IHT. This can happen if a non-UK domiciled person creates a trust by settling, say, shares in a foreign company. The settlor appoints two trustees, both of whom live in the UK. The trust is therefore UK resident but non-UK domiciled. The foreign assets held by the trustees are not therefore subject to IHT. For IHT purposes, where we have a trust created by a non-domiciled settlor, the foreign assets of the trust are excluded property and are not charged to IHT. There will be no exit charge if those foreign assets are distributed to beneficiaries, even if the beneficiaries are UK resident and or domiciled, and the foreign assets in the trust are not subject to principal charges, although principal charges will be levied on UK assets. If a non-domiciled trust has a mixture of UK and foreign assets, the UK assets will not be excluded property and will be subject to exit and principal charges. For tax planning purposes, trusts with a non-UK domiciled settlor can avoid an IHT charge by, say, exporting assets prior to either a capital distribution or a principal charge. For example, switching cash from a UK bank to an offshore account just before the 10-year anniversary will save IHT. Next, we'll consider the effect of the presence of excluded property on exit and principal charge calculations. Excluded property is not relevant property. Therefore, if a trust contains excluded property, those assets are treated as non-relevant property for exit and principal charge purposes. The initial value of any excluded property will therefore have to be taken into account when calculating the rate of tax to be applied on an exit or principal charge. We covered a similar situation earlier in this session. By way of illustration, Mr. Ashcroft is resident in the UK but is domiciled in Belize. He has lived in the UK since March 1990. In June 2001, he settled assets onto a discretionary trust for the benefit of his wider family, with himself excluded. The assets settled were a house in Belize worth £400,000, cash of £300,000 in Belizean dollars deposited into a Cayman Islands bank, and UK quoted shares worth £240,000. The total amount settled was £940,000, of which £700,000 represented foreign assets. In September 2009, the trustees made a capital distribution of 100,000 Belizean dollars from the Cayman Islands bank account to a UK beneficiary. The UK sterling equivalent was £50,000. In June 2011, the trust assets were valued as follows. The house in Belize was worth £600,000. There was cash of £400,000 in the Cayman Islands bank account, and the UK quoted shares were worth £300,000. The total value of the trust assets as at the 10-year anniversary was £1.3 million, of which £1 million represented foreign assets. We need to consider the IHT implications of the above arrangements. In June 2001, when he set up the trust, Mr. Ashcroft was non-UK domiciled. Mr. Ashcroft would only therefore have been liable to IHT in respect of transfers of UK assets. His foreign assets were excluded property. The chargeable transfer in 2001 was therefore £240,000, being the UK shares only. This would have been covered by the nil band for 2001-02, leaving no tax payable. The trust is non-UK domiciled. The fact that Mr. Ashcroft will have become deemed domiciled in 2006-07 on account of having been resident in the UK for 17 years will not change the domicile status of the trust. The distribution of Belizean dollars to the UK beneficiary in September 2009 will not give rise to an exit charge, as the Belizean bank account is excluded property. The fact that it is paid to a UK beneficiary is irrelevant. There'll be a principal charge in 2011, but IHT will be charged on the UK assets only, being the UK quoted shares of £300,000. The principal charge is computed as follows. We start with the value of relevant property in the trust on the 10-year anniversary. The trust is worth £1.3 million, of which only the UK shares worth £300,000 are relevant property. The non-UK assets are excluded property and are not therefore relevant property. To this we add the initial value of any non-relevant property in the trust. The foreign assets in the trust, being the house in Belize and the cash in the foreign bank account, are non-relevant property. The initial value of these assets when the trust was set up in 2001 was £700,000. We therefore add this on to give a transfer of £1 million. From this we deduct the nil band at the date of the principal charge. The nil band for 2011-12 is £325,000. The settlor made no lifetime transfers. We deduct any chargeable distributions to beneficiaries in the previous 10 years. There was a distribution in 2009, but this was an appointment of excluded property, so this distribution was not charged to IHT. The chargeable amount is £675,000. Notional tax at 20% is £135,000. Moving to the effective rate. When expressed as a percentage of £1 million, the effective rate is 13.5%. The actual rate is therefore 4.05%. This rate of tax is then multiplied by the relevant property in the trust. The relevant property in the trust at the 10-year anniversary is the UK assets only, being £300,000. The principal charge is therefore £12,150. Note that even though only the UK assets are charged to IHT in 2011, the initial value of the excluded property, being non-relevant property, must be taken into account to calculate the rate of tax. Therefore, even though the trust is non-UK domiciled and has UK assets of less than the IHT nil band, a principal charge still arises. To avoid the charge, the trustees could have sold the UK shares and transferred the proceeds to an overseas account, although CGT would then need to be considered.